So we're looking at the Shvilei Pinchas, yeah? From Parshas Truma. And the Parsha begins, Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'ikhuli Truma me'es kol ish asheyit venu libo tekhu es Truma si. And in a shiur that I gave earlier this week, which I'm not going to review now, but just to give you a little bit of a perhaps a question or two, you'll notice in this pasuk a few things that the Torah really commands on this truma twice. Once the chuli truma, and then at the end of the pasuk, after it says mikol ish asher yedved libo, a second time it says tikhu es trumasi, a second command. Why was that necessary? And also, what does it mean in the middle between these two commands? The words that are wedged here in the middle are called Isha Shmeis, called Isha Sheyedvena Libo. What's that all about? And then Rashi notices the extra word Li here, V'yikhu Li Truma. Okay, but that's not our subject for today. That was just to arouse your curiosity and maybe tempt you to listen to a shiur that I gave earlier this week. But we're interested in this concept, which is mentioned here in the pasuk, called Oros Tchashim. And we really don't know anywhere else in the context of biblical literature exactly what this tachash is all about. Rashi says something amazing based on a statement of Rav Yosef in the Gemara in Shabbos. Rashi says, Min Chaya. V'lohoysa el l'shah. So if you haven't met up with a tachash in your visits to the various zoos in the world, it's because it doesn't exist anymore. It was only created l'fi shah, meaning for the purpose of the Mishkan. And then Rashi tells us a little bit more about this very unique creature, this creature that was created by God for this purpose. Harbe givunim hayula. Has many colors. Rashi doesn't specify which colors it has. And then Rashi refers to Unculus. Lekach mitargem, that's why Unculus calls it Sasguna. So what does the word Sasguna mean? So Rav Yosef in Masechta Shabbos tells us that Sasguna is the Aramaic word which means sus, it is happy, pegivunim harbe, with its many different hues. Rashi here in Chumash adds another word, shesus umispa'er pegivunim shalo. And much of what we want to discuss today revolves around this extra word that Rashi added, and the question is why Rashi added a word. Rashi rarely adds anything, he just quotes Chazal. Now, Rashi adds the word mispoyer in describing this tachash. Now, I'm not sure how to translate the word mispoyer, but let's call it to glorify or to be very proud. You know, when you have something to boast about and you want to show it off, you're mispoyer, which is a little bit strange that Rashi should tell us about this creature that it shows off its colors in a very proud sort of way, you know, displaying, look at all my beautiful colors. And then the Gemara in Shabbos adds that Tachash Haya Bimei Moshe Birya Bifnei Atzma Haya Lefi Shon is Daming Lola Moshe V'yosem Menu Mishkan V'nignas. So this was a creature that was created at the time Moshe made it, just for that period of time. And Moshe used it to build the Mishkan, and then it's gone. Now, it says Nignaz, so that's a curiosity unto its own, because usually when we see the word Vinignaz, it implies that somewhere down the line, at the end of time, we'll be able to find it. We'll be able to locate it. Like, for example, the Aron was put into Geniza, and the faith, the belief that we have is that at the end of time, at the time of the ultimate redemption, we'll be able to find the Aron with the original Luchos. that's pretty exciting. In any event, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates this creature for the purpose of using its skins to cover the Mishkan. So in other words, this is what we call the Gag HaMishkan. It's made of tchashim, of the skins of the tachash. So the Mishkan itself is made, or shall we say, the urios of the Mishkan are made of oros elim ma'adamim, and izim, all sorts of types of goats and rams and so forth. But the michsa lamala, the Torah says, the covering on top of it all is made of oros tchashim. So let's ask the following two questions. One, why did God have to create a special creature that would only exist for that time in order to cover the Mishkan? And number two, there seems to be a contradiction, almost a conflict here between two concepts. One concept is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, as the Gemara says in Sota, I cannot coexist with someone who has gasus ruach, someone who is a boastful person and thinks very highly of himself. Ein ani v'hu, God declares, yichol lodur bi'olam or b'kfifa achas, different chazalim. And yet, the purpose of the Mishkan is for God to come and dwell in this tent, and God cannot tolerate, he cannot coexist and share space with a gas ruach. And Rashi decides to compare or to describe this tachash as a mispire, or otherwise known as hitparut, is the exact opposite of anava, of humility. So it's very paradoxical that the one word Rashi adds on his own to describe this tachash, which is going to be used to cover the Mishkan, which is the Makom Hashra'as HaShechina, is going to be something that's antithetical to the concept of Hashra'as HaShechina. If God is creating a place, a residence for himself, Kaviyochel, in this world, he would not want to share that residence with someone who's a Gas Ruach. You know, this reminds me of a story they tell about the previous Belzer Rebbe, that he was once on the road and he had to stop for an overnight stay, and he was hoping to find some balabas that would feed him, and his second in command told him that there were two different possible candidates in that particular town. One of them was a very rich person, and he was very, very pious, especially meticulous in the kashrus laws. But the only problem is, he was a big balgaiva. He was very full of himself. The other one was a simple Jew, not very wealthy, and he was not so meticulous about the kashrus laws, but he was a big anav. And the Belzer Rebbe says, I want to stay with the anav. And when they asked him why, he says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared, Ein ani v'gasruach darim v'kfif achas. I'm going to follow, imitate God. God says he doesn't want to live with someone who's boastful. So he was makel on kashrus in order to be domel Hashem. But anyway, our subject for today is, what does it mean when we say, Rashi says that this tachash is mispoil? What does that mean? The third point we want to make in terms of the context of our Shia is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates this creature and calls it a tachash, which again the Targum translates as sasguna. And the question is there any meaning to the word tachash? You know, usually we assume that when Adam HaRishon actually gave the names, the name itself in Lashon Kodesh somehow reflects its essence. And we can go through each animal and see how its name in Lashon Kodesh reflects that essence. But in the case of a tachash, which was only created L'shah, so we have no idea exactly what it is or what it looked like, or you know what its specifications was, a character, but it's called a tachash. There must be something in the word, in the name Tachash, that reveals something about its essence. So let's just review. We got three problems here. The first problem is, why did God feel it compelled, so to speak, to create something specially for the covering of the Mishkan, a new creature? Secondly, why does Rashi add the word Mispa'er to describe this creature? And thirdly, why is this name Tachash reflective of this creature and its essence? So we're going to begin by studying a piece in the Zohar, which we have both in its original in Aramaic, and we also have its translation into Lashon Kodesh. Now, in order to appreciate this comment in the Zohar, we have to understand that of the three Avos, the one that is considered perhaps the epitome of all the of this entire chain that starts with Avram, goes on to Yitzchak, is Yaakov Avinu. And the Torah describes Yaakov Avinu as Yoshev Oholim. And the Zohar wants to understand why the word Oholim is written in plural. There are many, many different answers to that question, but the Zohar has a very unique answer. And that word Oel is going to connect us to the Mishkan, and specifically connect Yaakov Avinu to the Mishkan, because the Oel here that's being alluded to is the Oel of the Mishkan. And when we have the Krushim of the Mishkan, how do you translate Krushim into English? I forget.
The boards?
The boards, the walls, I don't know what you call them. So the Krushim have to be connected on the bottom, architecturally, by something that's called a Briach HaTichon. So that's this main, you know, board or connecting force that holds up the two Krushim from one end to the other. And the Zohar says that every part of the Mishkan symbolizes something or somebody, and the Briach HaTachton, or the Briach HaTichon, is a symbol that's represented by Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu, as it were, is going to connect the two Krushim. And that's going to be, in a sense, the foundation of the entire Oel, which is called the Mishkan. And therefore, when the Torah says about Yaakov Avinu that he's a Yoshev Oholim, the plural word Oholim refers to the fact that he connects the two ends of the Mishkan. And if you take a look at the bottom paragraph, I don't know if you were able to print this out, but the bottom paragraph in the middle column, he says the following, that we have what's called the right side and we have the left side, and then we have a connecting Briach HaTichon that connects the two sides. The right side is always the Mid of Chesed, and obviously the epitome of Midas HaChesed is Avram Avinu. The left side is the Mid of Gvura, and it's Yitzchak Avinu that epitomizes Gvura, or personifies Gvura. Yaakov Avinu is represented, or he personifies the Midah of Tiferes, which is a combination and integration of both Chesed and Gvura. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu sits, so to speak, figuratively, between two Oholim. There's the Oel of Avram Avinu, which is Chesed, the Oel of Yitzchak, and you could almost say that he's sort of at a crossroads, pulled in both directions. And what does he do? He becomes the Briach HaTichon. He becomes the integration or the synthesis of both the right side Chesed and the left side Gvura, both of Avram Avinu and Yitzchak. And that's called Tiferes. So Tiferes represents the ultimate integration of both Chesed and Gvura. And that's why the Zohar says it's min ha-kotza la-kotza, because he's grabbing onto both ends. In a certain sense, both extremes. To some extent, we see Chesed and Gvura. Chesed is his pashtus, meaning going out, and Gvura means going in, which is called tzimtzum, to withdraw or recoil. And they seem to be antithetical. Yaakov Avinu is going to be the perfect combination or integration of these two. And that's called, in the language of the Zohar, the Bria HaTichon. But what's important here is that we see clearly from the Zohar that of the three Avos, we can single out Yaakov Avinu as having a special, unique relationship to the Mishkan. And that is the Midah of Tiferes. Now the Zohar goes on, and this you'll see on the left column. V'asises akroshim l'mishkan atzei shitim omdim. Here's another connection between Yaakov and the Mishkan. They're in the Midbar, and they're building these kroshim, and they're made of atzei shitim. Well, where did they get the atzei shitim from for the kroshim? And that's very fascinating, because Yaakov Avinu, back in Mitzrayim, you remember he lived his last 17 years in Mitzrayim, he was planting cedar trees that would have ultimately be cut down and brought through the Midbar and used for the crushing of the Mishkan. And Kishameis on his deathbed, according to the Zohar, Tziva Labanav La'losam Imayim Kshiyotzim Mitzrayim, that 400 years down the line, they, at Yitzias Mitzrayim, they should take with them as they enter into the Midbar. These are Razim. Because Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'tzavos Oschem Lasos Mishkan Me'atzei Shitim Re'u Si Yu Yu Mizumanim B'yedchem. You'll already be prepared to build the Mishkan with these Atzei Shitim, says Yaakov Avinu. So be careful to cut them down in Mitzrayim, bring them down at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So it's clear from the Zohar, this is the ongoing repetitive thesis of the Zohar, that there's a special connection between the Mishkan and Yaakov Avinu, and it expressed itself in two ways. Number one, Yaakov Avinu was the one who prepared the Arazim for the crushing, the Atzei Shitim for the crushing of the Mishkan. And number two, he is the personification of the Bria HaTichon that brings together B'nakotze L'akotze the entire structure, the framework of the Mishkan. And in answering this question, why is Yaakov singled out? We're going to take a look at the pasuk V'asu li migdash v'shachanti v'socham. And the Medrash says on this pasuk that why does it say V'asu li migdash kol makom shenemar li eino zaz li olam? The Medrash gives a number of examples where the Torah goes out of its way, God says, Li, and the word Li indicates that it's going to be for all posterity, for all eternity. And therefore, when it says, V'yosli Migdash, it means that you are now going to build a Migdash that's going to last forever. And this is a very difficult Midrash, because after all, the Mishkan only lasted for 40 years, or a little bit less. And then it was meant to be dismantled and replaced by the Beis HaMikdash. The Mikdash Rishon was destroyed. It was replaced by a second Mikdash, which was also destroyed. So it's impossible to justify the words of the Mishkan, Li Eino Zaz Liola. What does that mean, Eino Zaz Liola? So we're going to answer that question by studying a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara has an equation between Mishkan and Migdash. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in the Tochach, actually it says, V'nasati Mishkani B'sochachem. And that's not a reference to the Mishkan that's going to be destroyed, but rather to the Migdash that's going to be destroyed. And yet the Torah uses the word Mishkani, Mishkan. And therefore, the Gemara concludes that Mishkan is considered Migdash. And the Gemara says that when it says in our pasuk here in Parshas Truma, the Asuli Migdash, that word Migdash is a reference to Mishkan, because the Torah is now commanding Moshe Rabbeinu to build a Mishkan. So what does it mean that the Mishkan is called a Migdash here in Parshas Truma, and later on in Vayikra Chavav it's called a Mishkan, it's referring to the Migdash. Now we're going on to the second page. And we find here an explanation in the Ramchal of Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato in Parshas Vayakel, in a sefer that's very rarely quoted. It's called the Otzos HaRamchal. and I tried to get a hold of it, I was not able to. And he writes that Tikkun HaMishkan Hayachana LeMikdash, that the Mishkan is really just a preparatory stage for the Mikdash. And he says not only the Mikdash, but it means the third Beis HaMikdash. So when it says Ashkechan Mikdash the Ikre Mishkan, U'Mishkan the Ikre Mikdash, says Ramchal HaKol Inyon Echad, HaMishkan Eino Ela HaChana LeMikdash. In other words, the ultimate purpose is to build the Mikdash. The preparatory stage is, well, the Hachana stage is called Mishkan. And the proof of this, that the Mishkan is a preparation for the ultimate Beis HaMikdash, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'yasu li Mikdash, which means li li olam, is the drasha of Rabbi Chinina in Sota Davtes, on the Pasuk Rananu Tzadikim Ba'ad Hashem, Laisharim Naves Sehila, says Rav Chinina, Al Tikri Nava Tehila, El Nave Tehila. Navev refers to a structure, a building, a home, a domicile. Zem Moshe Rabbeinu Shalom Sholtu Sonem B'Maseyem, David Dixiv Tavubar Et Shareha, Moshe Dixiv Mishabona Migdash Rishon Nignas Ol Moed Krushev, etc., etc. And basically the Gemara says that the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu built is going to be Leolam Vod. It's lo sholtu soneim at all. Now, how could that be? We know that the Mishkan was only a temporary structure. The answer must be that the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu built is naveh, is a building that's tehillah, that's going to be replaced by, ultimately, the Migdash Shlishi. And if we have the following two equations, then we have Yaakov, who's directly connected to the Mishkan, and that in two ways. Number one, because of his Midah Tiferes, and number two, because of the Atzei Shittim, he's the Briach HaTichon. Then Yaakov is ultimately connected to the Migdash Shlishi, because we said that the Mishkan is just a Hachana for the Migdash Shlishi. And this is what the Gemara says in Sukkah about Atzei Shittim Omdim. The Gemara says, Shema Tomar, Avad Savram Ubatal Sikuyam, which means that after the Ol Moed was Ganuz, that's it. It's gone forever. Talmud Lomer Omdim. Why does the Torah say Omdim? So the Gemara says, Omdim li olam li olme olamim. That the Atzei Shittim, which were the trees that Yaakov Avinu planted and ultimately were brought down to, from Mitzrayim to the into the desert in order to be built as the crush of the Mishkan, these Atzei Shittim are Atzei Shittim Omdim. Omdim means Leola. So that if we're saying that the Mishkan will continue to exist forever, it'll take on a different form, and it'll be the Bayis Shlishi, then we're specifically singling out, or shall we say, honing in on the Atzei Shittim. Why the Atzei Shittim? I mean, those are definitely an important part of the Mishkan, but there are many other parts of the Mishkan. You know, you have the Rios, and you have the Gag, and so forth and so on. But the answer is, because the Atzei Shittim are connected directly to Yaakov Avinu, who prepared the wood for the Atzei Shittim. And this is what's going to connect us and make the Atzei Shittim Omdim Leolme Olamim to the Mishkan, to the ultimate Mishkan, which is the Mikdash HaShlishi. And the Shvilei Pinchas here quotes a Maisa Rokeach who says, Omdim Leolme Olamim Hainu Sheyuchzal Lehem Liyasid HaMishkan Atzmo. Very strange comment here, that the Mishkan itself, it sounds like the structure or the materials that we use to build the Mishkan that were ultimately put into Gniza will, at the end of time, will return and will be used to build the Rov Hadar, this beautiful structure, which is the Asu Li Migdash V'Shachanti B'Sofam. So when it says Li, and we said that the word Li means Li Olam Vaed, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking of Klal Yisrael to build a Mishkan forever and ever. And the kiyum of that is going to be, since the Mishkan would be ganuz, and then it would be removed, so to speak, or it will be revealed from the Gniza, Liyasid Lavo, and Yikolel, it will be included somehow into the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi.
Now, what are you saying? Just,
I'm sorry?
What are you saying? Just is it just the planks that are the ones, or is it the whole Mishkan?
The whole Mishkan. Every part of the Mishkan. But why does the Torah, when the Torah wants to convey this great, you know, reveal this great miracle, and tell us that the Mishkan, after who knows how many thousands of years, will be, I'm looking for an English word, will rise up from its hidden point. What word can I use?
Resuscitated.
Resuscitated.
Resurrected.
Yeah, no, I'm looking for a different word. Okay, it doesn't matter. Sometimes when you're looking for a word, it can drive you nuts. So, you know, you just have to overcome that temptation. Anyway, so that, when it'll be, so to speak, lifted from Gniza and revealed, at that point, the Torah emphasizes the Atzei Hashitim. Now, why the Atzei Hashitim? I mean, the entire Mishkan is Li. V'yasu Li Migdash Li. We all invite. But the answer is that we focus and single out the Atzei Hashitim, because that represents Yaakov Avinu. Right? He was the one who contributed, so to speak, the Atzei Hashitim. He was responsible for that element in the Mishkan, which represents the entire Mishkan. And the infinite, or shall I say, the eternal element of the Mishkan, the eternity of the Mishkan, is inherent in Yaakov Avinu's Atzei Hashitim. And that's what we have to understand why. All right, so I think the picture will get a little clearer, hopefully, as we go along. So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the scenes. He's Mesavev Sivuvin. He's the ultimate cause. And he saw to it that Yaakov Avinu would plant these arazim that would ultimately be used in the Mishkan for the Briach HaTichon, in the Krushim itself. And now he quotes a Gemara in Pesachim. This is on the bottom right of page 2. May dechsiv v'holcho amim rabim v'amru l'chu v'nal el har Hashem el beis alukei Yaakov. Yeshayo Anovi predicts that ultimately the nations will say, let's go up to the mountain of God, to the house of the God of Yaakov Avinu. So the Gemara asks, Elokei Yaakov, v'lo Elokei Avram, v'Yitzchak, Ela, and here's where the Gemara is very famous for connecting Yaakov to the concept of bias. Avram karo har, Yitzchak karo sodeh, Yaakov karo bias. And the Gemara goes through all the various psukim to prove that Avram Avinu's relationship was to a har, Yitzchak's relationship was to a sodeh, v'yetzeh Yitzchak v'subah sodeh, and Yaakov calls it beis ein zekim, beis elokim. And that bias is going to be ultimately this bias shlishi, that at the time of the Gula, the nations of the world would say, let's go up to the Beis Yaakov, Beis Elokei Yaakov. So the Alshich, who lived about 300 years ago, he writes in Parshas Bechukosai that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because Avraham Avinu represents the first Beis HaMikdash, and he has an admixture of Psul. He's got Yishmael as a son. The second Beis HaMikdash corresponds to the merits of Yitzchak Avinu, but there too it will be destroyed because Yitzchak Avinu also has a mita psula. He has Esav. But Yaakov Avinu is mitaso shlema. He has no psul, and therefore he represents the bias hashlishi, which is lenetzach nitzachim. Ki hine shlosha batei migdash hein b'ayis risha b'ayisheni b'ayishlishi hine yashnayim ha'yumaisa b'nei Adam ha'risha b'schus Avram ha'sheni b'schus Yitzchak ha'shlishi ha'mekuveh. Mekuveh means we're longing for it. B'schus Yaakov will be in the schus of Yaakov. And the first two were created by man, and they were destroyed by man. Why? Because Avram Avinu had Yishmael, and Yitzchak had Esav. And somehow this connects, which I don't understand why, but it connects to Avram Avinu calling it a har, Yitzchak calling it a sadeh. I guess a har is something temporary. A sadeh is something temporary. I don't know exactly why, but the concept of bias is the ultimate resting place, and that's the shlishi, the bayis shlishi of Yaakov Avinu shekara bayis. He is the one av that has no psul in his zera, and therefore he represents the shlemus and the infinity or the eternity of the bayis shlishi. So this is a whole nother dimension to everything that we've been saying, that the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu built is connected in more than one way to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the one who's responsible for the Briach HaTichon, for the Atzei HaShitim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Atzei Shitim Omdim, which means the only Olamim, because that Mishkan is really the Beis HaMikdash and the third Beis HaMikdash. And why is Yaakov specifically singled out for the bayis shlishi? Because he calls it a bayis, and the Alshech adds because he's mitaso shlema. So if the Mishkan is going to be hidden and then revealed and be integrated into the bayis shlishi, the migdash shlishi, which will be the eternal migdash, and all this is b'schus Yaakov, then Yaakov himself has to make the preparation. And he prepares this by planting and then commanding on the Atzei HaShitim, which becomes the Briach HaTichon, the crushing me min haKotzer laKotzer. And Yaakov Avinu represents Shlemus, perfection, because he integrates both Chesed, the Yamin, and Gvura, the small, and he becomes the Briach HaTichon min haKotzer laKotzer because he's Tiferes. And Tiferes represents perfection, and Yaakov is mitaso shlema. And now we can answer up the question why Rashi added to the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara of Rav Yosef, the one word Tiferes, or Mispoer, to his description of the Tachash. And you can already guess where we're going with this, because if Yaakov is the Mid of Tiferes, and the Mishkan is B'schus Yaakov, that means the essence of the Mishkan, which is a binyan li'olmei olamim, as we said, is Tiferes, is the Mida Tiferes. The Tachash is going to be created, Rashi says, for the Mida of Tiferes. And it's going to be the ultimate canopy or covering over the Migdash. And here, if you look on the left column, he quotes something in the name of the Mezritcha Magid. You know, we're really going back in time here, because he was the disciple of the Baal Shem Tov at the very beginning, the dawn of Chassidus. And apparently the Mezritcha Magid said that this Rashi of Shesos Umispar Begivunim Shalo is an allusion to the Mid of Yaakov Avinu of Tiferes. And he writes, Kvar amarti ma shamati mea magid zal b'shem rabo Rabbi Dov. And he says, Shamida shal Yaakov, which is Tiferes, merumas al targum sasguna of the Tachash, shesos umispire begivunim shalo. And this is a horah, this is pointing us in the direction of the Mid of Yaakov Avinu of Tiferes. And Yaakov is considered the personification of the Mid of Tiferes. And in describing the essence of the Tachash, we have to integrate the Tiferes element of Yaakov Avinu. To explain this, we go back to a statement of the Zohar. The Zohar says that Avram Avinu served Hashem with the Mid of Chesed, and the Mid of Chesed, as every Mid has, its own color. In this case, the color is white. Yitzchak serves Hashem with the Mid of Gvura, and the color of Gvura is red. Yaakov Avinu combines the two, and if you combine red and white, you end up with a greenish, yellowish color called Yarok. So Yarok includes within it both red and white. That's what it says in the Zohar. You can't blame me for writing the text. This is the Zohar. So it comes out that Avram Avinu's Chesed, which reflects itself, represents itself in Lavan, Yitzchak's Gvura represents itself in red, but Yaakov Avinu's Midah Tiferes, which integrates both Chesed and Gvura, is represented by the color Yarok. And now we begin to understand what the word Tiferes is in describing the Tachash. The Tachash is Mispoer, and why is the Tachash so glorious? Because it's made of Givunim, of many different Givunim. What does he mean by many different Givunim? It means these various yews that represent the midos of Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes. And now we're up to page 3. Now if we look at Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu personifies the Midah of humility. Katonti mikol hachasadim. And therefore, we ask the question, isn't it kind of strange that if Yaakov Avinu has a direct relationship to the Tachash, because the Tachash is called Tiferes, and that's Yaakov's Midah, it's kind of interesting to see, and paradoxical, that the Tachash is Mispoer. Isn't that a kind of Gas Ruach? That was the question we started with. But the answer is no. This is not the Tiferes of a Bal Gaiva, of somebody who boasts about his achievements. Avram Avinu introduced into the world the Avodas Hashem of Chesed, and it doesn't mean that he's boasting about his Midah of Chesed. That's just the way he serves Hashem. Yitzhak Avinu serves Hashem with the Midah of Gvura. Again, he could be proud of that, but it's not a kind of a boasting. That's the trailblazer of Yitzchak in terms of Avodas Hashem. Yaakov is not going to be mispoer, you know, and brag about his great Avodas Hashem with the Midah of Tiferes, but rather Yaakov Avinu is saying, I took Avram's Midah, I took Yitzchak's Avinu, the Lavan and the Adam, and I integrated them and created through the red and the white a color of Yarok, and that's my way of calling a mispire. Mispire means when there's many, many different colors that are integrated to form one whole. And Yaakovin is saying, I learned what I learned from Yitzchak, from Avram, I learned what I learned from Yitzchak, I combine these two. I'm not boasting, this is not antithetical to the Midah of Anova, Katoti Mikol HaChasadim, but he's really pointing to his Avos, and he's saying, look, there was the Kedusha, the sanctity, the great level of Avram Avinu and his Midah of Chesed, there was the great Kedusha, the sanctity of my father Yitzchak in Gvura, now I am going to integrate them, I'm standing on their shoulders. I'm not being mispire in the sense of boasting. I'm being mispire in the sense that Tiferes means an integration of that which came before it. That's what Tiferes is all about. Tiferes is when you create a unique synthesis between two extremes, in this case, Chesed and Gvura. And that's why, according to the Magid, he writes that we find that on Rosh Hashanah, in Atfilos, we blow the shofar, L'ratzos es HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's all a request from God that He should judge us and be noeg with us with the midah of Tiferes. And if you take a look, he quotes the Avodas Yisrael on the bottom of the right column. He says, when we speak to the Dod, meaning Takodesh Baruch Hu, our Dod, our beloved on Rosh Hashanah, on the day that we're being judged, basically, he's judging us, im yeh, will it be sas umispire begivurim shalom? In other words, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu see in us the ultimate midah of Tiferes, which is considered a combination of Lavan and Adam, which makes Yarok. Ad she'anu mamshichim al yidei atfilos v'aritzuyim v'atkiyas shofar v'yisratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu banu she'isnayig imanu v'bchinas Adam. Adam meaning Gvura. And then, of course, we get to Chesed. And finally, we get to Tiferes. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, in the words of the Novi Yeshayo, Yisrael Asher Becha Espoir. And again, the word Tiferes. So it means, it's not enough to show up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Lavan. It's not enough to show in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Adam. But we need both together. And when we integrate both together, that's when we have the midah of Tiferes. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls us Yisrael Asher Becha Espoir, which means that now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very proud of us because we successfully integrated all these midos, these great sanctified holy midos, into Tiferes. And now perhaps we can shed a light on the meaning of the word tachat. Because if you remember, one of the questions that we had, how does the name of this creature reflect its essence? So he quotes here the Chasam Sofer, who in turn quotes the Gemara in Brachos. Amar Rabbi Chanina Haroe, this is the last parak of Brachos, the interpretation of dreams. Haroe be'er b'chalom, he saw well in his dreams. Roe shalom, he will be worthy of experiencing peace in his life. That's according to Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Nosan Omer Motzei Torah, he will merit Torah. And Rav Omer Chayim Mamish, because the Be'er is always considered the Be'er Mayim Chaim, he will merit life. So the Chasam Sofer says the following. The word Tachash is a notrikun, meaning it's the first letter of three different words. Torah, Chaim, and Shalom. Now, it's very strange that we started with Torah, then we went to Chaim, then we went with Shalom. So he has some sort of explanation here, which is a little bit based on Kabbalah. I'll read it to you. He says, Mitzad HaKlipa, Nefachos Osios Tachash L'mafreya Li Osios Shachas. Right, you remember the pasuk V'urachum Yichaper Avam Lo Yashchis V'Bal Shiva Pobler Kamoso. So the word Lo Yashchis comes to the word shachas, which is an evil. It's an expression of evil, and that everything that's sanctified has zelumazen in Kabbalah. I don't know Kabbalah, but it has its opposite in Klipa. So the opposite of tachash is shachas, and when we talk about Torah and we talk about the Jewish life, it's got to be a life of tachash, which is the opposite of the life of shachas, of those who waste away their lives and are not interested in Torah. So, ono mashkim l'divrei Torah, hei mashkim l'dvar b'teilim, ono rotzim l'chai olam abov, hei rotzim l'be'er shachas. So it's interesting, the word be'er, which means the source of life, and ein mayim el Torah, is also connected to shachas, and there's something called a be'er shachas, and that's the exact opposite of Torah. So Torah gives life, Kiyem Chayenu, and the ultimate blessing for life is Shalom. So we have Torah, Chayim, and Shalom, that becomes Tachash. And all these three elements represent Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is a representative of Torah, because Ish Tam Yosef Oholim, and the Mishnah says, Al Shlosha Dvarim Olam Omed Al HaTorah Ve'Al HaVod Ve'Al Gmilus Chasodim, and the Zohar says, Torah Ze Yaakov. So first of all, Yaakov is connected to Torah. Secondly, Chaim, because the Gemara says in Taina something amazing about Yaakov Avinu Lo Mes. And finally, Shalom, because Yaakov Avinu, since he connects the midos that seem to be antithetical of Avram and Yitzchak, that's Chesed and Gvura, Yaakov is the Oseh Shalom Beinehem. He's the one who integrates two opposites to create a new entity. And the third bracha of Birchas Kohanim is connected Yaakov Avinu V'yosem L'cha Shalom. So we see very clearly that Yaakov Avinu plays a role not only in the creation of the Mishkan, which is the Migdash, and his Mid of Tiferes and Mitos of Shlema guarantees the infinite nature of the Mishkan, the Migdash, but also the Tachash, which represents the Mid of Tiferes, because it's made up of many different hues, namely red, white, and then finally green, which are synthesized, and Mispoer, and that's the proud, so to speak, expression of connecting both Midas Avram Avinu, Midas Yitzchak, that the word Tachash itself, which the Chasam Sofer identifies with Torah, Chaim, and Shalom, are the three essential dimensions of Yaakov Avinu's life, because Yaakov is Torah, Yaakov means eternal life, and Yaakov means peace, the third bracha of the Birchas Kohen. Now all this has to connect us back to a Be'er, because if you remember, we were talking about the Gemara in Brachos, the Chasam Sofer says a person saw a Be'er in his dream, and then he gets Tachash. Well, what does this have to do with Yaakov Avinu? And the answer is, the Pasuk describes Yaakov Avinu on his way to Haran, and he's there to build the community of Israel, because he's going to find his wives over there, Leah, Rachel, Leah, etc. So it says, Vayar, and Yaakov observed, Hehine Be'er Basodeh. He sees a Be'er. And you remember the Roim are fighting over the Be'er, and the Be'er is covered with a very heavy stone, and there's no way that you can get access to the water in the well without removing the stone. And Yaakov Avinu removes the stone from the Be'er. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is calculated here, the life of Yaakov Avinu, he brings Yaakov Avinu to encounter this Be'er Basada. And the answer is because that Be'er, which is the source of water, represents the great milos of Torah, Chaim, and Shalom, as we saw before, when you see a Be'er in your dream, so everybody tonight hopefully will see wells in their dreams, then it represents these three elements of Tachash. Now, Yaakov Avinu sees the Roe Tzon, Rov Tzim Oleha. Right? What does it mean, Rov Tzim Ala Be'er? And it says, Ki Mina Be'er Ahu Yashku Ha'edarim. And the word Eder is always in Tanakh. How do you translate Eder into English? A flock is always symbolic of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are always called the Edrei Tzon Kedoshim. And Lahash Kosam, when the Pasuk says that the Edrei Atzon are trying to get to the well and expose the well so that they can be mashke, it means alpi remez, it means to be mashke from this be'er, the adorim hakdoshim, which means Klal Yisrael. In other words, Klal Yisrael desperately need these three attributes in life of tachash, which they get from the Be'er, with the Be'er of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu personifies Torah, Chaim, and Shalom, which are the first letters in the Trikun of Tachash. And Klal Yisrael is desperate to drink from the well of Tachash, of Torah, Chaim, and Shalom. And in order to do so, they have to connect themselves to the Mida of Yaakov, the Mida of Tiferes. In fact, the Gemara identifies Tiferes with Torah. That's the Gemara in Brachos that says Tiferes in the Pasuk that goes through all the Midos, and it says Tiferes Zumat and Torah. And in the Zohar, Torah is called Tiferes Torah. Chaim is always connected with Tiferes. Eitz Chaim Hila Machzikim Bo, Eitz Chaim Hila Tiferes. And Shalom is also connected to Tiferes, because Shalom, as we said before, is to reconcile these two midos of Chesed and Gvura. And if you look in the Torah's Kohanim, the statement of Rabbi Yishmael is Mikan Shnei Ksuva Melchishim Zedzet Sheyovo Hakosva Shlishi V'Achriya Beineim, which we recite every day. And one of the Kadmonim says that what does it mean Kosva Shlishi Hayachriya Beineim? This is an allusion to Tiferes. The Shnei Ksuva Melchishim Zedzet says Chesed and Gvuro, Chesed and Pachad, he says, Shemachishim Zetzeh. They seem at the face of it to be mutually exclusive, as we said before, because they work in opposite directions. It's either it's Pashtus or it's Tzimtzum. And then it's Atshiyova Kozva Shlishi, that's the Tiferes, which represents Klal Yisrael, B'chaes Poer, which is Yaakov Avinu. And then it says Yachriya Beinehem. What's Yachriya? Yachriya is a lashon of Oseh Shalom. Why? Because the Gemara says Halacha Kedivrei Machriya Liolam. So Machriya is sort of like a compromise between two opposite opinions, and that's the Machriya, the Kosva Shlishi. That's the Tiferes of Yaakov, you know, who represents the Michlal, the entire combination, the integration of all these seemingly antithetical and mutually exclusive midos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses the name Tachash for this animal which he created for the purpose of the Mishkan, because this animal represents Tiferes, which is Yaakov Avinu, his Midah. And Yaakov Avinu sees the Be'er in his lifetime, which is the skula for these three milas, which make up Tachash, Torah, Chaim, and Shalom. And Yaakov Avinu personifies these dimensions of existence, of Torah, Chaim, and Shalom. So that Tachash is really the appropriate name for that which is created to guarantee the eternity of the Mishkan, because that Tachash represents the Midos that are personified by Yaakov Avinu. It's Yaakov Avinu who's Lomes. He represents eternity, and it's because of his Atzei Shittim Omdim that the Mishkan is going to stand Leolam. I mean, I don't know about you, it's hard for me to express my emotions here, but I'm overwhelmed by the fact that so many different things overlap and connect together. So I know that we're running out of time. Joe, you have to go. I'm just going to try to, in the next 5 minutes, you know, I'm not expecting you to stay, Joe, but I'll try to sort of wrap this up in the next 5 minutes, and then we'll take questions. I just want to just get it all together here under the wire. So Rashi says that Tachash is Sos u'mispayer begivunim shalo, which is Yaakov Avinu, who's mispayer, meaning he's mispayer in the great midos of his father and grandfather, respectively, and his contribution is to integrate Lavan and Adom, Chesed and Gvura, to create this new color. And now the Tachash has all the colors, and that is what Tachash is all about, to integrate all these colors, and that's going to be the cause of Ashlishi Machriya Beinayim. So that, you know, you meet a person and he says, well, I'm an Avram Jew, you know, I'm a Chesed guy, that's what I do. And then you meet another Jew that's a Yitzchak Jew, like they say about the first generation of Hasidim. They were Avram Jews, you know, they were out there, you know, with the Amcha. But then there was the Kotzke Rebbe, you know, he was a Yitzchak kind of Jew. He was very much withdrawn into himself. And we have different personalities. The Vilna Gaon, for example, was really a Yitzchak kind of Jew, because he was withdrawn. I mean, he had very few Talmidim. I mean, they were the Yesod of Lithuanian Jewry, but very few in number. And then you had the Hasidim, like the Baal Shem Tov and the Baal Tanya, who had thousands of Hasidim. They were the Chesed Jews. But the truth is that all these Midos have to be used together in tandem. And sometimes we need the Mid of Chesed, and sometimes we need the Mid of Gvura. And a perfect integration is what we really need. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by calling the Tachash a Tachash, and Yaakov Avinu is the Briach HaTichon that connects the Kroshim in HaKotzeh LaKotzeh, God is now integrating into the very fabric of the Mishkan, the sanctity of the Migdash Shlishi, which is Li'olam Voed, because it represents and embodies the Mid of Tiferes. And therefore, and this you'll see on the bottom right of page 4, he says that Ma Rol is Pyre Bishnea Givudim Lovam Vadom Shu Kol Mehem is Alpiak Doma Nifla Mi Mishnah Tahora Shel Yismach Moshe. What does the Yismach Moshe say? The Pasuk in Tilm is very famous. Im Hashem Lo Yivne Bayis Shav amalo bonov bo. You know, it's a waste of time unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses the structure. And the first part of the pasuk says, im lo yivne bayis, which is in Lashon Asid, in the future tense. Then it says, bonov. Bonov is b'lashon avar, those who built the bayis. So he says, how do we reconcile these two grammatical forms? He says, Nakdim Madiamdu Akadmonim. There are Shnei Mikdoshim Shenechrevu. Haim Poel Rechas Vishalom Vayu Kalo Hayu. Would you say that the two Batei Mikdash are completely gone? We have nothing left from them? Chalila Milomar came. It's not that the destruction of the Mikdash means that the Mikdash is completely gone. But rather, he brings a mashal here of Echad Shehevi Zera Ilan Tov Mimerchak Noto Achit Satsu Parch Vyasaperi Viacharkach Okro Vehevi Zera Ilan Acher Vinoto Vigamhu Asaperi Viokro Vichazar Vehevi Zera Ilan. He brings a third tree Dugmaso Minamufchar Vinoto Vichniso Likium Leos Dabram Iskaim La'ad. So it wasn't that the first Elon gave Peros and that was gone with its destruction when it was cut down, but rather from the first Elon they were able to recreate with its seeds a replacement second Elon until finally they created the third Elon, which was Mina Mufchar, and if Nisa Lakiyam Ludavram Iskaim La'ad. So it means that even though when you look at the Akira of the first and second Elon, you as a spectator you think that's it, it's gone. But in truth, what's going on here below the surface is something amazing, in which we're preparing the way for an Elon Tov V'Yofeh, for an Elon that's going to last for all eternity. And even though the Noteah himself, when he planted, Afhu Heshiv Amar of Lehem Ki Akol B'Chachmu B'Haskil, he knew already that the first two netios, the first two ilanos, and their removal when he uprooted them, this was all for the purpose of preparing for the ilan shlishi. Ki aretz alazu einu mesugelis legadel ilan kaze betiva. We don't have the ability to immediately plant in the ground something that will last forever. Therefore, we need the first netia, and we need to replace it with the second netia. And each netia gains something in the quality and in its nature from the previous Elon, Vanimshal, and this is going to teach us something about the third Beis HaMikdash and shed a light on the first two. He says, Ein b'koach ha'aretz ha'kshuma lezu l'kaba v'lispol noga or kedushas Beis HaMikdash ha'shlishi. That in the natural form of things, the sanctity and the supernal light, the infinite light of the Bayis Shlishi is so great that the land itself cannot tolerate it. It needs a gradual process of preparation. Is Konana Yotze Begave Meromim, God up in the heavens, prepared this by bringing one Yisod and then another Yisod, and Lule Shtei Batei Mikdash Rishonos, Ashal Yodam Akal Kedushas Havoda, the Yeser Avodas HaKodesh Asher Sambahem, Kamamei Oshonim, we're talking about 800 years and more, is Kansa Oretz Kamhi Koch Ruchni. The land itself was now suffused with a certain power of Kedusha Nifla. A day until it's possible to chalmeyato lisbol, it can now tolerate, so to speak, and cultivate the kedusha of bayis shlishi, which is the maisiy de yotzer, which is going to come down from shamayim, from Hakadosh Baruch Hu's hands milamala, and that's the bayis shlishi, and that's all predicated on the first two bate mikdashos. So therefore, the pasuk says the following. Im lo yivne bayis. Now we're talking about the past tense yivne. That is an allusion to which bayis? To the first bayis and the second bayis. But im lo yivne, if he won't build it, then shav amalov bonim bo. In the future, we said that bonim, bonov is in the Lashon Asid. That's a waste of time because it's impossible to build the bayis shlishi without having first built the first and second bayis. Is nizeh, from the first two batim, nitzmach tikva, upischam pelam yachlu mitzalpim li shuaso, because if not for the first two batim mikdashos, there would be no possibility of the third bayis. So therefore, you cannot tell us, chas v'sholom, that all the work of God in the first two batei mikdash was lereku l'shav. It was all a preparation for the bayis shlishi. And now we come back to finish it, wrap everything up, and tie it together. The kedusha of Yaakov Avinu, the anvenusa of Yaakov Avinu, his humility, is shesasu mispar begivunim shalah. He builds on the work of his father and his grandfather. So that Avraham Avinu was not successful in building something for eternity because his midah was too much askewed in one direction, to the extreme of chesed, Yitzchak to the extreme of gvura. And the corresponding two batei mikdashos were nechrav, until Yaakov Avinu can somehow integrate both the chesed of Avram and the gvura of Yitzchak in order to create the bayis shlishi. The bayis shlishi is b'schus Yaakov Avinu, and it's liolmei ad. Because Yaakov Avinu represents the Midah of Tiferes. And therefore we finish up in the last paragraph by saying that Yaakov Avinu ain't a tolig dula biatzmo. His Tiferes and his Parus is not because of himself, he's not boasting of his own achievement, but rather Kedushas Avosov, because they prepared the way for the Kedusha, the Bayis Shlishi, by building the first two Bati Mikdashos, one of Chesed and one of Gvura. And therefore, lefi zeh nifla lahavin amlitz al Yaakov Avinu. Why does the description of Yaakov Avinu here in the Tachash make absolute sense? Why is it so appropriate? Lamrod sharak beis hamikdash shlishi yivane b'schus yizkayim liolam im kol zeh hareyu sas umispar begivun shalom b'shnei agivunim lavan v'adam Shel Avram v'Yitzchak b'schusam, in the schus of these two colors, Yaakov Avinu is going to integrate them, create a third color, and that's the Tiferes. Is Yuchal Olam Lisbol Kedushas Bayis HaShlishi, and as a result, Yaakov Avinu paves the way for the possibility of creating a Mikdash and a lastly Olam Vaj Atse Shitim Omdim, a Kedusha of Bayis Shlishi Liol Me'ad Shibana B'mheira V'yameinu Amen V'amen.
I have a question.
Please, David.
Does the Kshoyim's Pasuk tie into any of this business at all?
Ooh, that would be interesting. Because it's also made of many different colors.
Yeah.
So last night I gave a shiur about the Arba Avos Nezikin Al Piderech HaSymbolism. And the first of the four Nezikin is called a Shar, which is symbolic of Yosef.
Yep.
And the Shor represents what's called Kabbalas Ol. And it means that we have to take from Yosef the total dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you want to suggest that maybe Yosef personifies or embodies this midah, I'll see you, Ira, this midah of Kabbalas Ol, then it means that our Kabbalas Ol is not specific to one color, but it represents the integration of all these colors. Yosef, as the father of Mashiach, really represents all of Klal Yisrael. He's the protector of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael is made up of many different colors. Often I thought that Tachash, who's Mispar B'Givurim Shalo, is a perfect representative of Klal Yisrael, B'Yisrael Espar Liolam, because Klal Yisrael really represents many different colors. Your Avodas Hashem is not his Avodas Hashem, and my Avodas Hashem is not yours. Everybody comes with a unique contribution, and we integrate that into one whole. Maybe, perhaps, Yosef, of all the children of Yaakov Avinu, personifies that midah of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We are all here together with you, Yaakov. Yisrael, listen to us. We are dedicated, each and every one of us, in his own unique way, to Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. Okay, Rabbosai, I would thank you very much, and especially Yudi for hosting us as usual. And Yudi, you and I have to continue our discussion that we started by email, and see if we could bring it to a sushi, not sushi, to the next stage, I meant to say. And I want to wish everyone a great week.
Thank you.
And a wonderful Hatzlacha, and as I say, we should be zocha to see new, deeper meanings in the Torah, and we long and we crave for the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Amen.